Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Up for the Bills, I think it's a logical idea. If I were going to trade up, I would still want to make sure that I had three picks in the first three rounds. What I would be looking at if I'm the Bills, it's pick 161, 174, 213, 236, using those to help you move up in the third or move up in the second. I don't think I would want to part with 61 or 93 to make that type of move up the board if I didn't have to. And I think it's a worthwhile conversation. Rostering seven draft picks could be difficult for this football team. So if they come away with five players, but those moves come from jumping up from 93 or getting into the fourth round, something like that would make a lot of sense to me.
Perfect.
That is Joe Marino from the Draft Network. He was on with us last week.
Yeah. Yep.
It's an on-demand audio.
Last Friday, I believe. Yeah, Friday.
Perfect.
On-demand audio, WGR550.com.
When's the last time either of you looked at the NFL trade value chart? The draft pick value chart.
It's been a long while.
It's been a while, yeah.
Good. Yeah. I want to have a little fun with the draft value chart.
Fun with the draft value chart was not on my list of things that I thought would come up on the show today.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I was looking into this because, as I mentioned, the first round running back conversation, Joe's comment there about trading up, we can talk about prices because, you know, the idea of a trade or this or that, that's always kind of fun. The Bills do trade up. They've traded up an awful lot over the course of the McBean era, right? We've seen them do it many, many times.
Yeah.
Traded up for Josh Allen, among others. Traded up for Deion Dawkins, for Zay Jones, for, you know, they move
Jermaine
a little
Edmonds.
Bit. Yeah, they identify who they want, and they move. So we can get into that. But first, I'd like to do this. On the draft value chart, do you know the numerical value of the number one pick?
Mm-mm.
Care to hazard a guess? How many units
2,
is it worth?
2,000 points.
Brayton, you got a guess? How many units is the number one pick worth?
4,000.
Well, you guys are right on both sides of it. It's in the middle. It's 3,000. So
all
the
right.
Draft pick value chart says the number one pick is 3,000 points. And then the last pick in the draft is either 1 point or 2 points, depending on which draft value chart you use. Most of them have it at 2 points. We're 2 points.
Wow, this 2 points would be the last pick. That's wow. That's
the last pick
cool.
Is worth two, right? In fact, almost every pick in the seventh round. Again, you get different versions of the chart. ProFootballReference.com. You know, they're all kind of spin-offs of Jimmy Johnson's mm-hmm. chart. He's the one that did it in the '90s, created the draft value chart. It's been tweaked. Different draft publications will do their different this and that. But I looked at five or six of them to make sure that the numbers are about the same, and they really, for all intents and purposes, are. So, okay, here's a question for you. The first pick is worth 3,000. The last pick is worth 1. Where do you lose half of the draft's value? By that I mean...
Yeah, where's the big drop?
Which pick is worth 1,500? Right in between. The first pick and the last pick. What number pick is worth 1,500 units according to the draft value chart?
Somewhere in the bottom of round one.
Toss a number on it?
25.
25?
I'll say a little later, 45.
Earlier, both of you. Keep going.
Earlier than 25?
Wow. Okay.
Earlier than 25. Keep going.
Geez.
15.
18.
Keep going.
7.
7.
You're a top 10
seven.
Pick, you drop off by half inside
you
the top 10?
Lose half of the draft's value in the first 7 picks.
Ooh.
according to the draft pick trade value chart.
Wow, it's like taking the car off the lot and they tell you it already depreciated.
Exactly. Now, the reason I got into this is because Warren Sharp, who I mentioned last segment, I like Warren Sharp a lot. He's got a piece up that is basically never take a running back, and here's why. He writes it for NBC Sports. He lists the last 20 running backs to go in the first round and points out a lot of he did a lot of work on this, on their yards per carry. You know, of the 20 running backs taken in the first round, the last 20, most of them haven't led their team in yards per carry. Half of them aren't even above average in yards per carry. Most of them haven't been good enough to get a second contract. These running backs will be drafted and not get their second contract.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are more likely to get cut before their first contract expires than get a second contract. And he goes on and on to point out, you know, the drafting success of a first-round running back. Now, the reason I got into the trade value chart, you know, the Steelers are talking about this. Maybe they look at Najee Harris. Maybe they look at Javonte Williams. Maybe they look at Travis Etienne. But here are the last 20 first-round running backs, okay, because I think this is important. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, and down the list goes. You know, you'd include in here Trent Richardson. C.J. Spiller makes this list, right? C.J. Spiller, Beanie Wells in 2009 was the 31st pick overall. So he lists the 20 running backs that are taken and lays out this argument that look at all of these running backs and the teams they're on don't get better. And the point that I guess I want to make is, starts with, why in the world would we compare the pick of Saquon Barkley to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and think they're anything close to the same pick?
Right.
Yes, they're the same position. One of them is the second pick,
mm-hmm.
and the other is the 32nd pick. And on the trade value chart, which is, again, this is how I got down this rabbit hole here, do you know how many 32nd picks you need to be the second pick? Five.
Okay, I was going to say, it's got to be a big number if we're talking getting near 3,000.
About five.
Yeah.
You need to pick the 32nd overall player five times to equal the value of the second pick in the draft.
I think there's a few different points to bring up here. And it isn't black and white. It isn't all things are equal. I mean, when the Giants make the pick of Saquon Barkley,
it's
their
insane.
GM is talking about with the second pick. He didn't say position, right? He said with the second pick,
Hall
you have
famer.
To get a guy who you envision wearing a gold jacket.
Yeah.
So that's completely different from any discussion of, boy, you know what? We could use a good running back. It's going to help our offense. We're going to transition away from Eli at some point. Wouldn't it be nice to have a productive playmaking back to help out the young quarterback? This guy looked at the second pick and said, no matter what I take, running back, offensive line, quarterback, this guy's got to be wearing a gold jacket 5 years after he's done, whatever, 10 years after he's done playing. So that's not necessarily a running back number two overall discussion. That was a different approach the GM of the Giants took, I believe. And I also think there are a number of things in play.
Well, I mean, just to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dave Gettleman, of course, believes a running back is worth the number two pick because he spent it.
Yeah.
So he can say Hall of Fame, but he believes this position is worth taking second overall. I don't believe that. I wouldn't take a running back with a second pick, with a fourth pick, with the eighth pick. The Bills took Spiller there. Christian McCaffrey's taken up there. I get all that, right? So
it didn't really change the course of the Giants the last few years by taking Barkley.
Of course not, because no one would make the case that you should build around a running back,
mm-hmm.
which is where so many of these arguments about these teams didn't get better. Well, they tried to build around running back with bad quarterbacks, and in a passing league, you know, we know what this is all about. So, of course, they didn't get better because they didn't have a quarterback. If they had a quarterback, they probably got better.
Yeah.
Or if they drafted a quarterback and that quarterback was Justin Herbert or Josh Allen, then that guy's going to help you, of course, change your fates and get better.
See, I would bring up, I think there are different examples here. As you were going through the information, I jotted down different notes. All right, I want to get to Tampa because I think I can tie Tampa into the Bills discussion about running back. But Kansas City is clearly an example. Okay, last year they were coming off a Super Bowl title and they chose a running back. Why? Hey, our offense is our bread and butter. Let's bring in another weapon in our offense. Why not bring in more, another player who could help us be even more explosive, whatever, put up more points. They didn't look at it and go, you know what, a year from now, we might have a tight cap and have to cut both our starting tackles. Let's draft an offensive tackle now, so when we get rid of Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, we have a guy in-house. No, let's bring another weapon into our offense, because that's what drives us to victories.
Right. Now, plenty would say that if you're going to do that, you'd want that guy to be your best running back. Well, he averaged 4.4 yards per carry. Daryl Williams averaged 4.3.
Right. They probably still would have been good whether they drafted Clyde Edwards. Not probably. They would have still been a good team whether they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire or not.
Right.
But what's the 32nd pick doing for Kent? You're getting someone who's not going to play, pretty much, right? As a rookie for them, you'd be drafting a guy who you think is going to help you as a starter down the road. There's nobody they would have taken there. They would have said, plug him in right away. We need this guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, to me, is a prime example of this discussion. I'm seeing mock drafts where they go get Najee Harris. Is anybody going to yell and scream about Tampa getting a running back at the end of round one? They brought everybody back. They re-signed their key free agents. They got their defense back. They've got their receivers back. They kept Godwin. They did all these things. What are they saying? Yeah, we had different running backs we were using, a few different guys. Hey, let's go draft one of the best running backs in the draft at the end of round one. We don't need enough. We don't have a gaping hole. We need a starting offensive tackle, or we need another edge rusher there, or, you know, maybe in a year or two, so-and-so's going into free agency. They're looking at it going, we're good. We brought everybody back. Let's put another weapon out there on offense for Tom Brady and the boys. Again, if they did this, let's go get a running back. Who's going to yell and scream that it's not a good move for Tampa?
Some people definitely will, and it doesn't mean that they'll necessarily be wrong. I do get the point about you don't need to take one in the first round, mm-hmm. and positional value plays into this. But if we can play the positional value game, it gets back to that units thing, right? Okay, so 3,000 units for the first overall pick. If Tampa decides to take a running back with number 32, the gap between the first pick and the 32nd pick is 2,400 points on the draft value chart. From the 32nd pick to the dead last pick is 580. You know, it's that no one should be talking about picks in the late 20s and 30s like it's even the same round as the fifth pick.
Yeah.
Because other rounds, you know, the second round from the first pick of the second round, 580, to the last pick is 270. Hmm. That is a 310-point swing. You lose that in value from the first pick to the second pick.
Yeah, right.
And that's the whole second round that loses that much value. Again, on the draft value chart. Now, maybe this is just a template to use for trading picks. I have a texter that wants to know what it would cost to get Kyle Pitts, move up and get Kyle Pitts. Geez. Trust me, I've got that laid out for you. I do want to get to that. So, right, there's a lot that goes into this. The running backs, okay, that guy doesn't get a second contract. Wait, isn't that what I want? I kind of want a player that might help me right away that isn't going to get a second contract.
Yeah.
That's a value to me, actually, with potentially. Again, like I said, I'm making a case for something I don't fully support. I mm-hmm. just think that the argument against it doesn't actually take into account so many different elements of it. It's that they decided 10 years ago, like I did, never in the first round, without acknowledging, well, there are differences inside the first round between not only the positions, the where you pick in the draft, first versus 32nd,
mm-hmm.
and there are differences in the teams that are making those picks.
Right, what are their needs? What are they looking for at that point? Again, you know, one of the names you reeled off with all the first-round running backs that Warren Sharp pointed out, I think was Josh Jacobs. And I'll check this, but I think I have this right. The year they took Jacobs, didn't they have multiple first-round picks?
I believe they did.
Is it less of a deal if you had a top-10 pick and then at 18 or 22 you took a running back? Okay, is that less? Are less people angry? Because that's okay. I mean, look, maybe Miami or the Jets, I don't think they would, but what if Miami or the Jets, with their second first-round pick, took one of the running backs, took Etienne or Najee Harris or whoever, the kid, the Javonte Williams? Is anybody going to yell and scream? What if Miami gets a wide receiver or Pitts at 6, and they decide wherever the heck the next pick is? Where is it, 18, 23, somewhere? Hey, we're going to take a running back there. Or the Jets get Zach Wilson at 2 and decide, you know what? Let's get a running back. Let's get another offensive weapon later in round one. It's not the same. They've got two first-round picks.
To me, it's all relative. You're talking about teams that I don't know if they have a quarterback or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Zach Wilson's good. I mean, I don't know that I want a running back there. For the Jets, I might want a lineman. For the Jets, I might want a receiver. For
it's
the Dolphins,
it's more likely those teams won't take a running back in round one, and they would wait till another round. But
think of the Chiefs that do this. The Patriots did this, and it didn't work out with Sony Michel. But if you have the quarterback, the reason you consider this position when maybe you normally wouldn't is, all right, I already know my quarterback's good. Yeah. What will help him? And from a running back standpoint, I don't want the running back to help him because we're going to hand the ball off more, not for the Bills. The running back idea is entirely built on, I have a near-perfect offense. So what am I going to spend my pick on? Okay, you want to spend it on the defense? That's fine. Yeah. I'm not against it. I'm not sitting here saying they should take a running back over cornerback two or over defensive end depth because I wouldn't expect the defensive end to contribute right away. I'm not trying to make that case. I'm just here to say if the Bills were to do it, it is not close to the same as the Bills taking C.J. Spiller with the eighth pick when who's their quarterback at the time? Is it E.J.? Is it Fitz? You don't have answers there. You know, there's a difference between picking to prop up a quarterback and picking to continue a quarterback's success. To me, the likelihood of success there is a lot higher when you already know, all right, this guy's good. We're going to invest a first rounder almost every year into making sure that he stays good, whether that's left tackle or, you know, big target receiver or tight end. All of this kind of stuff to me is about prolonging, protecting, furthering Josh Allen's, not even going to say development. You know, I'm here to keep Josh Allen rolling at all costs.
I'm trying to think with the Saints, if those guys were any of those guys that Breeze had would have been first round running backs.
Well, their best running back would have been Kamara, who's the third round.
He's third round, right. I'm trying to think if Ingram was. Anyway, the point is, sure, I think if Miami or the Jets took a running back with their second first-round pick, that would be to help prop up the young quarterback.
Maybe, and I'd be happy about that because I would think you're not in a position to take one.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they will. I've seen a lot of mocks where the Miami Dolphins and the Jets take running backs in the second round. I don't really think I've seen many in the first round. The odds are it would be a pass catcher for Miami and then maybe an offensive lineman, and the Jets would be a quarterback, and then maybe they need more help on defense, maybe an edge rusher for their second first-round pick.
Got a good text here that says, missing from the debate on this is the fifth-year option and the value. That's why 32 is still a no running back pick. Take a position that traditionally makes a ton of money on the second deal.
Yeah,
that's true. But that's also true of everywhere, not just 32. Why do you take a corner second instead of a running back second? Because of contract value. Because corners, if you have the best corner on the market, he makes a lot of money, right? And a bargain cornerback, right, fifth-year option for Trey White is a bargain compared to the fifth-year option for a running back. So I understand that. Fully, I do. Quarterback, same, right? We've had a lot of conversations about getting a quarterback on a rookie contract, a fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. Josh's is going to be, what did Sal say, like $23 million?
A little over 20, yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a deal of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So there are positions where you're going for bargains. I just think when you're in this spot, whether you're the Bills, we're mentioning Bills, Bucks, Chiefs. To me, Packers are in this conversation too, right? Mm-hmm. The Packers just spent their first two picks last year on a quarterback and a running back. You're at the NFC Championship game. You needed the final pieces to get you the rest of the way there. You know, your next quarterback and a running back that sits behind Jones, right? If I'm the Bills, if I'm the Chiefs, if I'm the Bucks, I'm not always looking for, well, in 5 years, who's going to be the best bargain? I need to do the final piece.
Yeah.
I need to find, doesn't have to be running back. I need to find the final piece of the puzzle. And that is not the same motive as the Jets or the Dolphins. And I know that you're still going to be supplementing and building for the future. Well, that's what all my other draft picks might be for in a year like this.
So if you're the Bills, what's the final piece to the puzzle at 30? Cornerback two then would seem to be the obvious answer.
Yes, I think that's probably the obvious answer. But what happens if the Bills look at their board and they see, well, we like three different corners for this pick, and they're all gone. And now the next group of corners is there are six of them. Do we think we can get them to the second round?
You trade out, right? You look at trading out. Yeah.
Maybe they can. Maybe they think the second group of corners is better. So, you know, the whole thing is a living, breathing draft. and you it's tough to know who they're going to take. I saw a report the Steelers are locked in on three players, and I thought, how? You're drafting in the 20s.
Yeah.
How could? What if all three are gone?
Yeah.
What if a player that you estimate was going to be gone is there? What happens if Devonta Smith falls all the way out of the whatever because he's too small or whatever? You know, like, there's so much that could happen. The idea that a team could be locked in today is kind of tough if you're outside the top, you know, three picks.
I also thought I wanted to bring up the no second contract thing, right, from the Warren Sharp article that you were reading. I don't have any numbers to back this up. I'd be curious what they are. I would love to see, and I don't even know, you probably couldn't extrapolate anything from it because I don't know that it's just a clear black and white case, but second contracts by position. I mean, running backs are they might be the lowest number of second contracts because of what we always talk about with running backs. If the guy is good, how much money are you willing to give a running back in a second contract? How many teams look at it and go, I'm going to get my 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever out of this guy, and then I'll just go grab a running back in round four, and I'm going to have him on a rookie contract for the next few years. So the whole thing of, you know, another reason why you don't take a running back in round one is they don't get the second contract. Well, again, that can be because teams know running back maybe more than any other position. You'd feel confident in being able to replace it by just plucking a guy out of the draft. Maybe you wouldn't do that at quarterback. You wouldn't do that at almost every other position on the field, right? No offense to running backs, but over the years, it feels like that's a position where we will say, yeah, don't worry about it. You can just find a running back anywhere.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you say that about any other position in the draft. Ah, don't worry about it. You'll find a shutdown corner anywhere. Not necessarily, but running back you think is like the most easily replaceable position, not on special teams.
And it probably is. I don't dispute that it probably is because if you're in a fully ready-made offense, a lot of guys might be able to get that job done.
That's a plug-and-play position.
Yes, yes, which is the point about why you don't do it unless you think there's one guy special that adds a little bit of the special sauce to your offense. I mean, receiver could do this as well. Tight end could do this as well for the Bills. To me, the conversation centers around what does Brandon Bean, what does Brian Daboll, when they think about this offense and getting it, I know it was the best in the AFC, when they think, we want 100 more points this year.
Hey, I'm okay with that, by the way.
Who's the player that unlocks that for them? If it's a tackle, it's a tackle. If it's, they have their two tackles, so they can't draft one. If it's a guard, I need to find the next level.
So how do they trade up for Kyle Pitts?
Okay, you want to know that.
That would be a next level ad.
How far do they have to get up? Fourth pick?
Maybe four. I wouldn't think lower than six-ish, right? Six, seven?
Well, which do you want, four?
Give me
six?
Four.
Four. Okay,
so for
the Bills to go from 30 to 4, they have to make up 1,200 points.
Mm-hmm.
A first-rounder next year, they say, as a second-rounder this year, right? That's how it generally goes, the school of thought. Okay, so it's two firsts, probably.
Ooh.
It's the 30th pick and two firsts.
Ooh, that's a lot, yeah.
Don't want to do it?
No, I wouldn't.
If you try to trade your entire draft, if the Bills said, let's trade our entire draft for Kyle Pitts, they'd need to do a lot more. It wouldn't come close.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
The Bills' entire draft value is worth 1,091, and the fourth pick is 1,800.
Jeez.
So you're talking your entire draft.
And then a little something else.
And a first rounder next year.
Yeah. I'm going to go on record saying the Bills will not do that.
I don't think they'll do that either.
Yeah. And I don't think Bean would give up two first round picks to move up like that either. I'd be stunned.
But if they were to do it, the first thing we would say is, they're going for it.
Yeah, well, there's the piece to the puzzle, the playmaking tight end.
And we might say that about anything that they do, they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pitts, maybe he jumps in and is good right away. A lot of tight ends take a little bit of time to get seasoned. Right. But maybe by halfway through the season he's good to go. Or next year, you've got your offense is Diggs, Gabe Davis. It's almost impossible to imagine it happening because it would cost so much.
It's too much, right?
But it's probably too much.
No, I was just going to say you would be doing that in this discussion of it usually takes a tight end time to develop. I get that. You'd be doing this because you think this is the exception to the rule. This guy comes in, maybe not in week one, but at some point over his rookie season, this is not, hey, the kid's going to be really good. give him a couple years to get his feet wet. It's a lot to learn, running routes, being a blocker, all these, it's a complicated position. You know, if you're moving out two future first round picks and going up 26 spots, you're getting a guy who you think is going to help you get the 100 extra points on your offense this year, which, by the way, would be like 600 points this season. Now, I know there's an extra game, but that's still a lot of points.
It's a lot.
Yeah, 600 divided by 17. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. You can join in the discussion, share your thoughts, add an opinion, bring in a question if there's something else you want to get to. We've been also talking about, we'll talk a little bit more about the Sabres, actually. Don Granato coming up at 8 o'clock. If you checked out on the Sabres season, if you checked back in, a lot of good things happening right now for the blue and gold. So we'll do that too. Join us this morning here at WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Phone calls or texts I've got, it's I think it might take me a week to reply to everybody, but it's been overwhelmingly humbling, to say the least.
Patty, what keeps you coming to the rink?
I just love it.
There's nothing else like it. So
a little emotional moment there for Patrick Marleau, playing in his 1,768 game. It was a nice, I didn't see what happened last night. They played, was it Minnesota, right? The last game they played where everybody from the Wild came over and shook his hand after the game?
Yes, and I think Vegas did the same thing last night.
Cool. That's a neat gesture. Cool thing to do.
Marty Baron was upset that Vegas wore their gold helmets. He tweeted about that.
Those are sweet looking helmets.
No, well, you're going to have to fight with Marty about it.
Oh, Marty. I love Marty. I can't fight with him about anything.
The only reason they should be wearing gold helmets like that is either A, the golden rule, like we've talked about on the show, where it's the the golden stick or whatever.
Golden stick, yeah.
Or like they do in the Finnish league, where the person who wears the gold helmet is like the leading scorer on the team.
I think the helmets are snazzy. I like them. I'm into all gold, you know, the old Kings uniforms.
But then again, I'm not too upset about, like, ads being on jerseys in the NHL.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure. I shouldn't say never, but I think as I get older, I get less upset about things. Although I will tell you this. I know I was going to say something about soccer. I will tell you this. I do not want to hear anything else about what Trevor Lawrence said or his dad or people. And I mean, I get it. There's more sports talk. There's social media. We have to tweet. We have to fill all these hours of talk and everything. I mean, this is just overanalyzing to the nth degree.
You didn't like the headline that Trevor Lawrence got a chip on his shoulder because people reacted to the story that he didn't have a chip on his shoulder?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Is this too much for you?
Yeah. I'm watching NFL Live yesterday. I was watching NFL Live on ESPN because I want to see. I'm trying to watch some of the draft programs and see what's going on around the league. And man, they started discussing Trevor Lawrence's quotes. I couldn't run. It was like Bob Seger's old time rock and roll came on the radio. I couldn't get to the remote fast enough. I'm like, who cares? Enough already. Why does this stuff even matter? Why? And it's a rhetorical question because I understand the business we work in. And you've got to fill time, but find something else to talk about other than what he said or his dad said or, you know, what he said after the controversy developed over his comments. I mean, it's just, what are we doing, people? Who the bleep cares about this stuff?
At least that story had people who put their name on their quotes, you know, his dad, his college coach, and Trevor Lawrence himself. You didn't get any, you know, one evaluator
anonymous
tells
source,
me.
Yeah.
For instance, I mean, I just wish we could get to a place, and I'm not saying that everybody needs to be sourced. You know, I get it. There's anonymity. A source tells me the Lions like so-and-so. You can't believe anything because it's smokescreen season.
But that's why I love today's headlines. You know, Miami's moving down from 6.
Right, right.
Denver's going up to 4. This is great.
Dallas is getting calls at number 10.
Yep.
I thought Dallas wanted to move up. Now they're getting calls to move down. Okay, whatever.
Yep, that's right.
My biggest problem is quotes like this, like Ian Rappaport, who I like just fine, but he quoted, I read it earlier, a random quote from a top decision maker in the 2021 NFL draft. This is the worst defensive tackle draft I've ever seen. How come I can get a person on television to say that, but a guy that actually evaluates the draft is afraid to put his name on it?
Yeah.
Just say it. I think it's a terrible defensive tackle draft. Oh, wow. If Brandon Bean said that, I guess it would be what? Bulletin board material for all the defensive tackles? A top evaluator says it's a bad draft for defensive tackles. Why can't we know who that is? Just say your name.
No, that's not inflammatory. You know, I mean, it's if Brandon Bean comes on and we it's not out of the question. You get the GM on and you ask him about a particular position. Yeah, it's a little thin this year. You know, hey, how's the linebacking group? Yeah, a little thin this year. You know, or it's top heavy or it's bottom heavy. It's not inflammatory. What's wrong with pinning your name to? Yeah, you know what? Not a good defensive tackles. Garbage. Whatever.
The one position I start to wonder about with the Bills is, and maybe it's harder to predict than most positions, is receiver, because you know they're good receivers in this draft. There's no doubt about it, right? Jamar Chase expected to go number one.
Deep group.
Yeah, a deep group and receiver. Is it getting more specialized? This is probably a good question for draft nicks and whatever, film study guys more so about, is the position more specialized where, you know, you're a draft guru, you think Jalen Waddle is receiver 4 or Devontae Smith is receiver 3, whatever it might be. You would then realize that, well, not every team wants that type of receiver. And the way that I think about this for the Bills is, I was listening to the Bill Barnwell podcast yesterday, and he had Nate Tice on, and Nate Tice talked about if Devonta Smith dropped, he started to really fall. He is listed 6'1", 174. Apparently, nobody's ever gotten how much he weighs. The combine, the pro day, nobody weighed him.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of he doesn't weigh enough. But he's obviously been very good, productive, exciting. And Nate Tice, Bill asked Nate Tice, what's the perfect fit? Where would you like to see him? And Nate's answer was Kansas City. And I thought to myself, anytime I hear that, I'm substituting the Bills right in.
Yeah.
Right?
That type of offense,
if you tell
me
it's a great fit for Kansas City, it's a great fit for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking, all right, how far would he have to drop for the Bills to jump up and say, well, this guy fell too far? I mean, we had to do it. They do that in other rounds pretty consistently. They've done it throughout Brandon Bean's tenure. If someone says it's a perfect fit for Kansas City, I immediately am going to substitute, and that's a perfect fit for the Bills.
Yeah, because I think you'd think of the same type of offensive plan or philosophy, or both teams' strengths are what? The quarterbacks are passing games,
and
always look for more weapons. I mean,
the Bills
drafted two receivers last year after trading for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and they're a chunk play offense. The thing that Chiefs have a little bit more of than the Bills is speed.
Yeah.
So if you want a guy because he's fast, he'll get in that track meet Chiefs offense, well, then I got to keep up with them. I'm going to want that guy too.
803-0550 to join us. Get to George in Buffalo here on WGR. Go ahead, George.
So I kind of want to call about the Super League. I know you guys
sure.
talked about it much.
That's fine.
Yesterday.
Jeremy is the expert, so you're calling to talk to Jeremy. I'm going to step aside here.
Yeah, so I'm a huge Arsenal fan. We haven't been in the Champions League in years. We've been in the Europa League for the past couple of years. But it's more about the other leagues in the table. Like, for example, Leeds United. They just came into the Premier League this past year after being out of it for so many years. Meanwhile, Leeds was one of the biggest clubs in the world back in the 90s. Manchester City was a dead club back in the early 2000s, same with Liverpool, and now they're one of the biggest clubs in the world. So the way these owners are trying to take all this power and move it into the bigger clubs, it's limiting all these smaller clubs to come up and being into the Premier League or these bigger leagues, the La Liga, the Serie A, and getting that money that they were supposed to be getting throughout playing these bigger leagues. Something I saw on social media that I kind of want to talk about was how people are going to be now talking about, oh, the weekend lineup that these big clubs are going to be putting out there to play these whatever games, and they're going to be more focusing on the midweek matches and putting their star players in the midweek matches. And once they're out of the Premier League race, they're not going to be playing much anymore. They don't care about it because there is no top four place to go into the Champions League because these clubs are already in the Super League. So there is no money like trickling down to the smaller clubs, which is really needs to happen. And another thing is how are these bigger clubs going to get players now? Because most of they get their players are from these smaller clubs. Like Arsenal, for example, they got Pepe from Lyon, and there was no way they're going to get Pepe if like Pepe doesn't grow up in his ranks. Same with Mbappe. He grew up through his ranks. And become one of the best players in the world. So it's just a messed up situation. It just shouldn't happen at all. And it's just a disgrace to soccer, I'm told.
Yeah, I mean, as a – I'm not – you know, I didn't grow up with soccer, but I would consider myself a fan of the sport and of the Premier League and of the Champions League. There's a lot of things built into this that even if you don't follow the sport, you understand that incentivization is really important. And this gets to – every conversation we've ever had about sports, about tanking, about should the Bills rest their starters because they've got the 2 seed locked in, incentivization is at the core of any sports league. It's one of the reasons, Howard, that I want the NHL to go to the 3-2-1 point system.
Right, incentivize
you
the win more.
You need to incentivize regulation wins more. Mm-hmm. Make it worth more. And, you know, sometimes you just – these, especially the NHL just misses this all the time. So on this point – I was thinking about this for the F1 race, and now we're on F1 and we're mm-hmm. on soccer, but I think if you're not a fan of these sports, you can still understand. Why is it important to finish in the top four, as the caller points out? Because you go to the Champions League. If you remove that, the Premier League does not have playoffs. If you have the team that's in right. first place, that's it. They won the Premier League. The race is over. There's no drama for the fourth spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no race for fourth. In F1, they have a podium, right? First, second, and third. If they just decided, you know what, forget podiums, just first.
Yeah.
Guess what? The race between the third and the fourth spot.
It's anticlimactic, right.
On the final four laps, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach you that matters and podiums matter to these drivers.
Right.
You need that stuff. You need incentivization. And the ugly other end of it was tanking. Like, what's the incentive to finish in 29th place? There isn't any. The incentive is to finish in 30th.
The NBA's gone to a play-in tournament to incentivize battling for 8th or 9th or whatever, you know, to get in the play-in tournament.
Right. But what? Think about the NFL this year. What did they do? They said one team gets a bye.
Yeah, right.
That bye is now worth more because only one team gets it. You're the 2 seed? Sorry. You got to get the 1 if you want the bye going forward in the future. So it's right. They've removed it. The Super League, it's automatic bids for rich teams.
Yeah,
it's no longer an open tournament. It's an invitational where the people that lay out the tournament decide that they're in, and maybe a couple other teams can come hang out with us. But we're in every year, no matter how bad we are. You know, good year, bad year, doesn't matter. We're in, and we're going to take that money.
I saw, I don't know, one of the papers in England, probably a London newspaper. The headline was "The Great Game Robbery."
Yeah,
good stuff. And it was about something about the American Big Six ruining the sport or something. It was just funny. It was really good headline.
It's been quite a 24 to 48 hours over there, and there's a report today that one of the Big Six says they were lied to and they already want to pull out.
Oh, well, yeah. That was fast.
One of the Big Six is seriously considering pulling out. They're accusing Liverpool and Manchester United, the two clubs leading the breakaway, of lying to them and bleeping up.
Ooh.
That's probably Manchester City. That's what speculation might be.
Wow. Yeah, that,
who knows?
That happened fast.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Sabres in action tonight against the Bruins. Don Granato joining us at 805 WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Okay, sorry, I had to do math. Dustin Tokarski got a win last week, fellas. I don't know if you saw that. He became the 12th different Sabres goalie to get a win since Ryan Miller was traded in March of 2014. So I'm looking for Sabres goalies who have a win in that stretch.
Okay. Robin Lehner.
Very good, sir. 2016-17 season.
To earn a win or play a game?
A win.
Jonas Enroth.
Okay. Chad Johnson.
Hang on. Enroth, where are you, Jonas? He was the very first guy to get the win after Miller was traded. Chad Johnson, very good.
Your mortal enemy, Anders Lindback.
you're just making that up. Was I angry at him at some point?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the tank. Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
You demanded he be traded.
Yeah.
I'll also go with another Anders, Anders Nilsson.
Very good. Boys,
never
you got them both. Very good.
Remember that.
Matt Hackett.
Right? Anders Nilsson? Traded from St. Louis for a draft pick, right? What?
Who? No.
We're acquired from St. Louis in July of 2016 for a draft pick, it said.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I don't remember him at all.
Either way, Anders Nilsson is still correct. Matt Hackett is still correct.
Carter Hutton is correct.
There he is. Yeah, Hackett, right. Carter Hutton, very good. All right, you got one, two.
Allmark is correct.
Yeah, you did forget an obvious one. You got three more left.
Michael Neuwirth is correct.
You've got two more left.
Dustin Tokarski.
No, he was setting up the trivia. Whatever. So you got two more left.
Okay, all right.
Was there another goalie from this year?
Uh-huh. wait a minute.
No.
This might be last
Jonas
season.
Johansson.
Last season, yeah.
He did it last year.
Right, Jonas is one. Missing one guy in the season Miller was traded.
Michael Tellqvist.
No, that's earlier.
Okay. Patrick Laliem.
No. Still earlier. Don't say Ty Conklin either.
Nope.
That's still earlier.
Nope. Played more in Rochester than Buffalo season.
Right, I'm trying to... It's not Connor Knapp.
Sixth round pick, 2011 draft. How did you not... You don't memorize sixth rounds, huh? You just memorize the first round?
I don't think Nathan Lewin.
There you go. Nathan Lewin.
He did get a win.
Very good.
Wow.
There you go, boys. Right. You ran the table. Nice job. That's my little contribution for instant trivia. Speaking of the hockey team, we'll chat with Don Granato when we get back. Lots to cover with the Sabres interim coach. A lot of good things going on right now at the hockey club from a team standpoint, from an individual standpoint. We'll delve into some of those when we return on WGR.